You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Ugh. You said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope. But I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Mic check, 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I am your host, Dan Johnson. And today we're going to be talking with Scott Bakken from Dialed Archery. And in the past, I have criticized this company a little bit. And, you know, just from the price point alone, okay? And I don't know, probably a little ignorant, probably a little arrogant, probably judging something before I had the opportunity to talk about it. And I basically was like, who's going to buy this product? And I'll be completely honest with you, after talking with Scott today, like the way he talked about his business, how he started his business, the fact that it's made in America, it hyped me up big time. And I can understand now the passion and the momentum behind this brand, and that is Dialed Archery. So for those of you who don't know, it's one of the most expensive in the space. It's made in America, which is a big plus. And so today, Scott kind of gives the history of Dialed. He talks about the passion behind it. He talks about the time, the energy, the effort that him and all his business partners have put into it. And this is the outcome of that. You know, the current Dialed products are the outcome of that. So I love these types of conversations, to be honest with you, because I'm kind of proven wrong, right? And it I don't want to say it humbles me, but it makes me continue to ask questions. And that's why I like doing the whole podcast game, is because, man, sometimes I got to get knocked down off my horse, I guess, a little bit about certain products and trying to get more of an understanding on just about anything before passing judgment on it. So really, really fun educational episode. Like I said, again, it hyped me up. It fired me up. This episode fired me up. So shout out to Scott and shout out to Dialed for taking time to hop on the podcast and chat with me a little bit. Before we get into today's episode, I want to send a huge shout out to Reveal Trail Cameras. If you're looking for a cell cam, go to tacticam.com/cameras. It's very easy. You scan the QR code, you put the batteries in the camera, you download the app, and you're good to go, dude. I mean, it takes nothing to get these cameras set up. Tacticam.com/cameras and check out the new 3.0 versions of that camera. Next is Code Blue Sense. I mean, real synthetic deer urine, scent elimination products, mock scrape kits, you name it, they have it. And it's one of those companies that they've been around for a while. And if you have any questions, here's what I'm going to do. If you have any questions about the products at Code Blue Sense, go listen to another hunting gear podcast where I talk with one of the product managers about Code Blue Sense. And he kind of breaks down the quality and the process that they use to make these products, right? And as you'll hear, it's a lot about quality, right? Quality scents, synthetics, real, like everything's high quality there. And then the product in development, the quality checks that all go into all of this stuff. And so huge, huge fan of Code Blue Sense. Go to codebluesense.com, enter the discount code NFC20 for 20% off. That's the intro. Let's get into today's episode with Dialed Archery and Scott Bakken. All right, everybody, welcome to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're going to be talking with Scott Bakken from Dialed Archery, and we're just going to get a breakdown of the gear and equipment that these guys make for archery accessories, and just get a little origin story here. I want to talk about the price point, who your demographic is, made in America, all the stuff that makes your product what it is. And before we get into that, Scott, man, how's your spring going so far?
It's been very busy. I mean, this whole year has been busy, but spring is kind of a understatement. So we're in north central Minnesota. So like our spring is just like now happening. Like yep. We're finally dug out from a ridiculous amount of snow we got a couple of weeks ago, and you can kind of start to see things greening up. So, but, the Total Archery Challenge is started this last weekend. So it's going to be a very chaotic, next couple months.
Awesome. Well, that's a good thing as far as businesses are concerned, right?
You right.
Want to be busy?
Yeah. No, but so, definitely beats the alternative.
Yeah. Yeah. We were having a conversation with a group of us the other day who are all kind of self-employed. Mm-hmm. And I don't manufacture anything. So right. I don't like, there's a whole nother world based what I do. I mean, I manufacture content if you want to think of it that way. Does your job ever feel like it's that 9-to-5 job yet? Or is it still like, dude, I'm self-employed. I'm living my best life.
So no, it never feels 9-to-5 because like there is no 9-to-5 for us. Like, uh-huh. I mean, yeah, our hours of operation, are that 9-to-5 like mentality, but for like me and my business partner, and I mean, we are, that's kind of the interesting thing. Like because you hear it all the time. It's like, oh, you own your own business. You make your own hours, right? Uh-huh. Like, that's true, but our hours are dictated on what the business needs. Mm-hmm. And right now the business is very demanding and needs a lot of attention from us just because at the rate we're growing. Yep. So no, I mean, there is no 9-to-5 for me. It's literally like sun up till, I mean, it's just like, there is no rest. And even like yesterday, I mentioned we had a day of strategic planning meetings with kind of our upper level team. And even just that one day, like we accomplished a ton, but that one day of not being in my office, like that will take me 3 to 4 days to get caught up on.
Oh, hell yeah.
So it's just crazy how people have like this, and whether you're manufacturing hard goods, soft goods or content, you are a slave to the business. Like
100%.
My life is dictated by the business. Like I don't decide what like I do, the business does. Mm-hmm. So I haven't hunted. I bow hunted 4 times last year. 23 I didn't bow hunt at all. 22 I didn't bow hunt at all. And it's like, well, that's the whole reason you got into business, right? Isn't it? Mm-hmm. So you spend more time hunting. And it's like, well, that's the perception, but that's if you truly want to be successful and like do the best you can. That's not how it works. So yeah, like the, I mean, there's days where I'm like, man, I would love just a 9-to-5 job where I'm just counting screws, or, you know, like working at Quick Trip just seems really appealing right now. It's like you just show up when you need to show up, you go home when you need to go home, and everything in between. It's just, it's easy, you know, where like now it's just, yeah, it's
unlimited fountain drinks.
Exactly.
Quick Trip.
Yeah. Laser donuts, you know? But at the same time, like, I don't, like, I could never go back to like a 9-to-5 job. Like, yeah. I love what we do and what I do. And, you know, there's definitely days where I question my sanity and, you know, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? But, you know, I think that's just, you kind of start feeling sorry for yourself. But once you snap out of it, you realize, like, I mean, the grind is addicting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'm to a point now where, well, I am kind of my own worst enemy at times, because I know that I could get stuff done, but I am choosing to be flexible in my schedule. So like my kids, right? So I take my kids to my daughter to wrestling, and I'm a baseball coach, and that's like four nights a week. I take my daughter to dance. And so last night I chose to do things during the day, and then I worked till 10:30 last night.
Right.
And so it's awesome to have that flexibility, but there's nobody that's going to do it for you or that you can pass it on to. You do it. You have to do it. And if you slack, then everything that you've built starts to fall apart.
100%. And that's a really good point. Like, you know, there is no 9-to-5 for us, but yet we do get to pick when we want to get the work done. Right.
Right.
I mean, like, to your point, like, you know, tomorrow it's supposed to be like almost 70 here. Like, I could take the day off and go play golf all day or go chase turkeys and then get all my work done, you know, in the evenings through the night, you know, whatever. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, I think like there's so many levels to it, to where, you know, like you said, you're busy with your kids and all these extracurricular stuff, which I think you have to maintain your sanity.
Yep.
But it just, it's like trying to figure out like, how does that all fit? And like for me, and I know we'll get to that point where we'll get to where I can kind of back off a little bit and enjoy like what I truly am well, I shouldn't say what I'm truly passionate about, but enjoy extracurricular stuff. It's just right now our business is a demanding bitch. And like you said, if you take your eye off the ball for like 1 second, the whole house of cards could come crumbling down. Right. Or at least that's how I feel. But, you know, I know it's not permanent, but it's just right now where we're at. Like, that's both Taylor and I mean, we agree, like, this is where we have to be and this is what we have to do. But, you know, it's also, I'm a very routine person. Like, I eat the same thing every day, my schedule, like, I'm very routine. So you get comfortable with kind of that mentality or that lifestyle. And then when you don't have it, like, you know, if you do decide to take a day off, you almost feel like something's missing.
100%.
You know? But then there's also times where, you know, I see all my buddies going on vacations and, you know, all these hunting trips and stuff. I'm like, God damn it. Like, that would sure be sweet, but it's just, you know, it's just not in the cards right now.
Right. Right. So. Yeah, man, this, the whole growing a business thing is, I don't know. So I want to ask you a question, business owner to kind of business owner here. Mm-hmm. I don't like listening or consuming much content surrounding deer hunting, because I feel like subconsciously it's going to affect what I do, or start to research, you know, what content is popular. And I would then start to mimic it, mm-hmm. which means I'm not truly doing what I want to do or who I have gotten this far. Do you guys feel any pressure to dial to try to compare yourself to other brands in the space that have been around longer than you?
Not one bit.
Okay. That's great to feel that way.
No, I mean, I think, you know, do we pay attention to what other people are doing? Sure. Right. Like, you got to keep a pulse on, you know, what's going on around you, but we don't ever, nothing we do is dictated by what somebody else is doing. Like, we have since day one chosen our own path, our own story, and we've just stuck to it.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, we've seen people try to mimic what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I think that's the big difference. Like, what will determine a long-term business strategy and a short-term business strategy, right? If you're just going to try to mimic and copy everybody that's like in the same space as you, you're never going to grow. Like, you're going to grow at the same rate that everybody else is because you're not doing anything unique. Where if you pick your own path, you know, come up with your own unique ideas or whatever, that's where the longevity is.
Yeah.
So, but it is, I mean, it doesn't mean that like if you see somebody do something, you're like, oh man, that's pretty freaking cool. You can't take that idea and then build off of it and, you know, still create your own unique, you know, product off of that. But yeah. And honestly, you know, not to like jump the gun, but that's kind of what started Dialed in the beginning. It was just the industry was so complacent and everybody was just doing the same thing as everybody else. It was monkey see, monkey do across like every category, right?
Every category.
We picked the site category because we truly felt that's where the most advancement could be made because it was such a stale category. Like we just talked about this yesterday. Like, I mean, there hasn't been any sort of excitement in the site category since the Garmin Zero site launched, whatever, 8 years ago. Like for that 1 year, archery accessories were exciting. And that's been the only year. Yep. But now it's like, you know, there's more site players than there's ever been. There's more site companies trying new things, like kind of starting to push the envelope. And I will say like it's 100% because of us. So, I mean,
that's gotta be a good feeling.
It is. But I mean, but that's the whole point we did this, right? Yeah. Is to kind of wake up like the industry and be like, hey, like dumbasses, if something doesn't change, our industry is going to die. Like we're already a very archaic industry. Like, I mean, you've been in this just as long as I have. I mean, we are decades behind every other industry,
right?
But it's because there's no new blood. I mean,
right.
And nobody's really pushing the envelope or trying to, you know, ruffle some feathers or create some waves. So that's where we're like, let's be those guys, you know? Yeah. And, you know, again, not that we don't pay attention to what's going on, especially, you know, with some of like the political changes and stuff. And, you know, like you mentioned the tariffs that are coming up, like, I mean, we pay very close attention and, you know, we have members of our team that have some very, very deep insight, you know, deeper than what we see. So it's like we hear and see what's going on. But again, we don't ever make decisions based on what other people are doing. We just do what we want to do. And, you know, for us, it's just trying to build this community. You know, right. It's not really necessarily about a product. It's about like building this community of bow hunters. Right. So. Right. That's kind of how we look at it.
Here's the thing that I'm always really intrigued about in the hunting industry, right? It's how do you bring new and exciting technology into a space that historically has been a traditional old school, like hunting to me, when I think of what kind of hunter do I want to be or what is hunting? I don't think high tech. I think step backwards and enjoy my forefathers or whatever that, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So how do you take a traditional pastime and bring technology into it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the $1 million question because I mean, you're 100% right. Like, and I think we're seeing it right now that like old school is new, right?
Yep.
And we're, our industry and our sport, I guess I will say, is 100% built on tradition and heritage, you know, like, and you look at, you know, like I'm a member of Pope and Young Club, right? So, I mean, that is the heritage of bow hunting. But, you know, how do we, like the big question that we always ask ourselves is how do we make bow hunting cool, right? And you have the people that are stuck in the traditional ways.
Yeah.
And like, I'll call them the elitists, you know, it's because like those people are like fly fishermen. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's also not what's going to grow our industry. It's a very important segment of our industry, but you know, ultimately I think we can all agree that our focus is trying to get younger generations involved in the outdoors, because that is, I mean, that's the future, right? So yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have the direct answer, because I mean, that's what we all sit here and try to come up with, right? But it doesn't necessarily, I don't think you necessarily have to come up with like a new, like a brand new, like super innovative idea, because that costs money and it costs a lot of money and it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of resources. But for us, I think we look at it as like, how can we make archery more enjoyable, right? Like, not how can we make it easier, but how can we, because I mean, we all bow hunt because we like the challenge, right? That's the whole reason we all bow hunt, is because it's challenging.
Right.
But like, you know, we've classified that there's hunters and then there's bow hunters, right? It's two completely different groups. And there's like this gap between the two. So we just try to be that gap between the two groups. And again, like, we don't want to make bow hunting easier. We just want to make it more enjoyable. Yeah. So that's kind of how we look at it. So if you look at like how we've designed our site and stuff, like, yeah, it's got all these cool features. It looks cool, whatever. But in the end, because like it is such a simple system and it's a very accurate system, a precise system, like, you are going to enjoy it more, right? Like, we try to take a lot of the frustrations out of the whole sighting system and just make it more enjoyable. So I think that's like, you know, because in a day of like where we're at with society, where everybody just wants to take that magic pill or stick that needle in them or, you know, hit that easy button to get results, that's kind of like, that's not what bow hunting is about, right? Yeah. And, you know, you could go on and on and on, because I mean, that leads into like the implement of crossbows and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, like, I think we need participants, right? We need people to be buying equipment, buying licenses, traveling, all this stuff. But then we need them to progress, right? Yeah. So these hunters, we need them to move into the bow hunter group. And that's kind of like, if Dialed can kind of be that bridge, then, you know, mission accomplished.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there who are looking for the Ozempics of bow hunting.
100%.
Right now. And like, with the cell cameras and the popularity of those things, it just seems like, it just seems that that's what everybody wants. They want shortcuts now. They want the easy button right now. Right. Is that what this industry needs, is easy buttons? Or not?
I don't think so.
No?
No. Me personally, no. I think that's the last thing we need. Like I said, I think it's how can we make archery and bow hunting cool, right? Like, I mean, you know, we were talking about our previous selves back when, you know, we were little young gun rock stars, right?
Right, right.
But like, you know, that was like, hunting was cool, right? Yeah. I mean, opening weekend of, you know, Wisconsin deer season, like that Friday, you knew every guy or girl that was a hunter, you all came together that one day, no matter like what friend group you were part of or what clique you were in, the fact that you all hunted for those 9 days, you were all like, you all came together. And then after the gun season, we're like, yeah, forget you. You're an idiot. Like, you go back to being enemies or whatever. But so I think that's like an important like kind of topic. And, you know, there's all sorts of groups that are focusing on it, but it's like, it's rallying the troops. And, you know, I've always looked at it like, if you are a hunter, if you are a bow hunter, and you truly care about like, not only just our rights to hunt, but like the conservation side and just the longevity of our passion, but you're not part of any one of the organizations like Pope and Young, you know, Rocky Mountain Elk, Boone and Crockett, take your pick. Like, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. But so there's like all these messages that we need to try to like get out there, but it's just like, none of us are really doing a good job about it, you know? You know, because we're all so busy with our day to day, right? Like,
absolutely.
You have a business to run. I have a business to run. you know, there's a lot of distractions. And so again, like going back to like kind of dial, you know, that's one thing I think at the end of the day, if and when like our time comes to an end, if we can look back and be like, yeah, we made some cool products, like we kind of changed the game, but ultimately we were kind of a, like an icon for like younger generations to be like, hey, like those dialed guys did some cool stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I want to do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, I mean, I'm sure you probably felt like when I was younger getting into the industry, I wanted to own my own archery shop so bad. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I wanted to do. And then when I got in the industry and I realized, well, if you own your own archery shop, you don't make any money, that it became less attractive. Right. But
right.
It's just, I think we just need that constant, you know, new flow of, you just need new blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is I'm in a space where I've been doing this now for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I catch myself being stagnant at times, but mm-hmm. also in a point where, man, dude, I have talked about how to hunt the rut a million times.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to talk about how to hunt the rut anymore. Yeah. But you know what? I need to talk. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
Talk about it in order for my business to get those analytics that I need to make money, right. Blah, blah, blah. So it's, I'm past that new phase and I'm in the sustainability phase. And so, those are a whole different.
And it's two completely different. It's like two completely different, like environments,
100%. But they're
both equally of importance. Right? Yep. So like now that, like you said, you've been doing it for 10 years, like you're pretty established, but like you are the voice, like you can reach people that like we can't reach. Right. So like having opportunities like this to like be on your podcast and stuff, like I think like just everything, the whole dynamics have shifted, you know, like just how we do everything mm-hmm. is different. Like I'm a marketing major, but I mean, my degree, I'm not even going to say how long my degree was, but, like it doesn't mean anything anymore because it's not the same techniques. Right. It's not the same. Like, I don't know anything about digital marketing right now, but that's where like you, I mean, it's, I think we all have like a responsibility to try to get those messages out there. And it's really hard, right? Because like you said, the last thing you want to talk about is hunting the rut again, but yet you have to talk about it because you know what? That's what people want to hear.
Right? Exactly.
And it's exactly. Like, if I have to have another goddamn conversation about how to properly, you know, tune your bow, like I'll probably fall on a dull broadhead, you know, but it's like, that's the value we provide. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's tough. But again, it goes back to like, that's why we need new blood because like we are getting on the older end of the spectrum as far as being in the industry. And there has to be somebody behind us just like we did. But it's just, we're going to get to the point where, you know, we're not going to evolve as much as we would have 10 years ago. Right. So that's where you need the younger guys to step in with the newer, fresher ideas. And so it's, I think like, it's just all about timing. Right. And it's like this cycle. And like when Dial launched, it was just the right time. We hit the cycle right. And, you know, it's like we've been riding this wave ever since. But I mean, at some point that wave is going to curl over and we either need to jump on a new wave or, you know, figure out another path. So
Yep. Well, I'm going to scribble out tuning your bow bullet point here now. No, I'm just playing. Let's talk about
YouTube it.
Yeah, right. I tell people that all the time. Hey, Dan, just reaching out if you got any. I'm like, Google.
Yeah.
Just hit Google. You'll find everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this point in your life where dialed is now like has become an idea. And like, who did this idea start with? And talk to us about like this process between idea to creating the company to manufacturing and selling your first to market product.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea, it's kind of, I mean, it's a long story, but it's like, it's kind of the epitome of like I always say we are not unique in any sort of way because our business was born just like many, like thousands and thousands and thousands of, you know, businesses that, you know, were started by entrepreneurs. You know, I always say like Dialed was kind of born out of a necessity, both from an industry standpoint, but then also in our personal lives. So Dialed was founded by myself, Taylor Coleman, and Jordan Riley. Jordan and Taylor are owners of Captured Creative, marketing, you know, media company. So we all met because we had worked together, right? And, you know, I've been in the industry since I was like 8 years old. Like, I mean, I was that little kid, you know, my uncle had a small archery company and he would take me to trade shows. And I was a little kid running up and down the aisles, handing out brochures and acting like I was so cool and whatever. But, so it's all I've ever known. But, you know, throughout the years, like, I guess I kind of climbed the corporate ladder, you know, started off at the bottom, working in a local retail shop to being a buyer at Kinsey's and then working for a family owned business. So I've kind of hit, like, checked all these boxes, right? And then going through COVID, which was a very fucked up time for everybody.
Strange.
Yeah. And, you know, you're home, but yet you're still working. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you know, you just, all you have is time to think and analyze and, you know, whatever. And I've always been the type where, and I'm focusing on me, but I mean, Taylor and Jordan are it's a mirrored story. Like basically we were all at the point in our lives where like we were wanting something different. Like we wanted a new challenge. Their business is, and it still is thriving, but we had all kind of plateaued. And, you know, none of us are the type where we like complacency or like mediocrity. Like complacency kills, right?
Right.
And we all were kind of in this like stagnant, you know, spot to where like it was like every day I could feel like I felt like I was in quicksand. Like it was just pulling me down deeper and deeper, deeper. And, you know, I just was like, what am I doing with my life? You know, like I'm not really progressing. I just feel like I'm moving backwards. And Taylor and Jordan were in the same spot. And we had a conversation one night and we all were just like, yeah, we're ready for a new challenge. And I was like, well, why don't we do our own thing? You know, because our little group here, I mean, we have a sales guy, we have marketing guys, like we could start a business with this, right? So that's kind of where the seed was planted. And then just over time, we just kind of kept going back to it. And then I don't remember the exact day or time, but like I had just reached my breaking point. I'm like, I'm done. Like I'll go work at Fleet Farm. Like I don't care, but I need to do something different because right now I am not in a good spot. Right. And I called Taylor and I said, hey, remember that idea of doing our own thing? Like, I think we should explore that. And yeah, we just kind of hit the ground running from there. And, you know, we had no clue what our first product was going to be. We didn't know anything. All we knew is that we wanted this team to happen. And then we just wanted to make cool stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it all started. But when we actually dug into and like got into the weeds of like, okay, we got to come up with an idea here. And we just, again, looked at the industry from a whole and was like, where are there gaps? Or like, where would like the lowest barrier of entry be to where if we were going to come up with a new product, we could do something new and cool. Cause that was the one thing we said is that we did not want to be just another Me Too or just a copycat of what was already out there. Mm-hmm. And we looked at the site category and obviously, you know, that was my background, but just looking at the category as a whole, we just felt like there was something missing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had, there was all this feedback that I had kind of stored away from over the years of like frustrations I heard of like other sites that were out there. And so then that's how we designed the Arxos, which was our first product. But the whole idea was to design the site that, you know, like I said, would just make shooting more enjoyable and eliminate a lot of the frustrations that we've all experienced with current products out there. And not that there aren't good sites out there, it's just they all were the same. They looked the same. They operated the same. They were built the same. So yeah, we just kind of started there. And then we met our current engineer, TJ Eads. And within a week, we had a site designed. And we're like, holy shit, like that was cool.
TJ's the man, dude.
Yeah. No,
TJ's the man.
Yeah, he is awesome. So yeah, then it was literally just a snowball effect from there. Like things just started happening. And it's funny to like look back because so many times we would talk and we're like, man, this is easy. Like this is all coming together like really easy. Mm-hmm. And we were just waiting for that. Like there's no way we can be those guys that just get by with a hall pass, right? Like
right. Light,
like the walls are going to come closing in us at some point. And that happened when we actually went to production.
Yeah.
And we started getting parts in, nothing fit together. And we had already had all these sites pre-sold and it was a disaster. I mean, it was one of the scariest moments like I've ever had because we had all these promises made and there was no light at the end of the tunnel. Like
that's how businesses fail.
Yeah. And that was, if we were going to fail, it was that point right there. Right. I mean, we had exhausted. I mean, we started everything with our own money and we were out of money already. And we're not even 6 months into this. Mm-hmm. And everything became very real. And, but I mean, we just kept fighting and here we are 4 years later. So
I want to back up just a second. And sure. I want to talk about that point where you were looking at the industry for the lowest barrier of entry. Mm-hmm. And I will agree with you that if I was to sit down and let's say pre-dialed, look at the industry, man, the most boring categories in the bow hunting industry would have to be a sight, you know, a sight. So was that something that you were looking for? Is like, this is the most boring part 100%. Of the bow.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and it was like the one product that nobody cared about.
Right.
Like I said, other than that one year where there was a spotlight shined on, you know, accessories, it always amazed me, like at the events or shows that I went to and you ask guys, like, what bow are you shooting right now? They could list it off, you know, immediately. Right. It's a whatever, 29 inch draw, 70 pound. What arrows are you shooting? They could list it off. But if you asked them what sight they shot, oh, it's that mover. It's that adjustable. Nobody could list it off. And we're like, nobody pays attention to it. And like I said, it was the one category where the mimicking was like the strongest. I mean, you could lay 10 sights out on the table and they all look the same.
Right.
So for us, we were like, that's where we're going to focus. And like I said, the idea is just once we validated, like, okay, this is the category we're going to get into. It's like the ideas just started flowing. I mean, like, what if we did this? What if we did that? Like, you know, one of the most important things is we wanted it to be recognizable. Like you could see our site from 100 yards away and be like, oh shit, that guy's got a dialed sight on. Right. Yep. So from a branding standpoint, that was very important. But then the functionality, you know, like one of our slogans is designed on purpose. Like everything that went into our previous site and our current site, there was a reason for it. And it wasn't to make this function work or because like we had to do this. Like there was a purpose for that design, but ultimately it's to benefit the shooter, right? Mm-hmm. So like the overall design of our site is very minimalistic, less components, less moving parts. So it's going to be more durable, more rigid. So it's, I mean, it's designed by hunters for hunters, like yep. it's kind of how we say it. But yeah, it was just over, like the whole goal was just to create a better experience for archers.
Yeah. And I will say, I definitely agree with you in the ripples that were made in this category. You know, obviously I will say that Garmin, there was a lot of talk about the Garmin site. Sure. I also felt that there was a lot of talk about the React sites mm-hmm. with the multiple, like you adjust one and all the other pins adjust.
Yep.
Right. And then the next one was yours.
Right.
And so this whole storm or the buzz starts to hit about Dialed, but now you got, you know, your pre-selling orders, you're like, okay, we got this thing. People are hyped about it. And then boom, no money, product doesn't fit. What's that nightmare like?
Like I said, it was literally like, I mean, it was one of the scariest, like most stressful things that I can remember. Mm-hmm. Because when we launched, the overall response was we never expected it to be as positive as it was. Like mm-hmm. the one thing we heard over and over again was like, finally somebody is doing something different. And we heard it like, I mean, time and time again, like I like the site that I'm using, but I don't love it. It was just my best option at the time until yeah. now. Like we heard that all the time. So, you know, we definitely kind of ignited this fire, which, you know, we were riding off that high, like, oh yeah, like we're doing something good. Like people are liking what we're doing. Like the response, like people were ready for something new. Like that was the biggest question, was what would the perception be? Right. And cause again, going back, like our industry is pretty archaic. Like they're not very open to change mm-hmm. and very, you know, there's a lot of hesitancy there. Right. So we really did not know, but then immediately we're like, we're onto something here. And, you know, like you said, all of a sudden we get into the production and you know, and just even finding production, you know, manufacturing partners, because none of us have machining background or, you know, we all kind of have in more, you know, Taylor and TJ, obviously, but we all have engineering, you know, mindsets, but machining, we don't know anything about machining. So it's like, you know, finding manufacturing partners. And at that time, everybody's coming off of COVID. Machine time was limited. Machine time was very expensive. So nobody would even entertain us. Like, yeah. I don't even know what the number is of the amount of machine shops Taylor and I visited, but it's astronomical. Like, yeah. I mean, because we were very adamant about not only promoting and having everything made in America, but we wanted everything in Minnesota, which is where we're based out of. Mm-hmm. But we quickly realized that wasn't a possibility. So we had to start looking outside the state. And we were very fortunate to, you know, meet some people that introduced us to some people. And it kind of like talk about like tapping into your Rolodex of contents or contacts. I mean, we called everybody and anybody we knew and being like, hey, do you know anybody that has a machine shop? Like, so once we started laying that out and like I said, getting the parts, it was again, okay, on to the next step. Well, then we get the parts and none of them fit. And we're like, what the shit? And it, I mean, we went from like highest of highs to like, we never talked about it, but I know it was in the back of our minds. Like, what's the exit strategy? How fast can we get out from this? You know? Yeah. And I've told the story numerous times, but there was a day where, you know, the frustrations just boiled over and we were working on, like, we actually were into assembly, and for assembly, it was just me and Taylor. So we're full-time assemblers, but then we're also trying to do all the business management, you know, business ops stuff of, you know, the marketing, you know, the accounts payable, receivable, like, and it's just overwhelming. And we had our breaking point and him and I, we had it out. And, you know, it had to happen because we said what we had to said, we got our emotions out, you know, some things probably were said that, you know, we wish we didn't, but you know what? The next day we showed up and we were,
I love you, bro. That's yeah, what that was meant.
Like, hey man, like, sorry about yesterday. What do you want to do? You know? And we both were like, we don't want to give up. And from that day, it's almost like
mission.
We shook hands in blood that like, yeah. Okay, I got your back. You got my back. Going forward, we are going to, like, if we
destroy.
Go, if yeah. we go down, we will not go down without a fight. And we've never changed that mentality since.
Dude, this hypes me up, man.
Yeah.
I'm getting fired up.
Yeah. It, and again, like, you know, but I think with that mentality, that's why we've been able to build such a strong team, is because they know, like, there is no other option for us. Like,
yeah.
Like, if Dialed were to close its doors tomorrow, I have nothing. Like, nothing. Like, yeah. I don't have, I mean, all, everything I had, we put into Dialed. And same with Taylor, right? Like, he would have captured creative, but it would be such a huge hit to us that I don't know if we would bounce back, because we have poured so much into this. But again, so has every other entrepreneur that started their own business. It's just, mm-hmm. Our story is a little unique in the sense that, like, we don't know anything about hard goods manufacturing, you know, like, we were trying so many new things and we were trying to carve, you know, our own path. Like, to your point, nobody was coming to help us. Like, right. So many people wanted us to fail because of the ripples and, you know, the feathers we were roughing. Like, nobody was coming to save us.
Right.
So, yeah. We didn't have a choice but to just keep pushing through. And like I said, here we are now, and, you know, we're growing like wildfire. And, you know, we don't talk about those days very much just because we went through it. We're here because of it. But like, those days are going to live in the past, and, you know, it's focused on the future now. But
yeah.
Knowing, like, we have this term that we just came up with, but we call it Stormborn. And it's like, we were born from a really, really wicked storm. Like, I don't ever want to go through that storm again, but knowing that we've been through it once, I'm not afraid to go through it again.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the more you grow, the harder things get, right? Mm-hmm. But again, knowing the team that we have built around us now, like, it's not just Taylor and I anymore, or Taylor and Jordan and I anymore. Like, we have this whole team, like, this, it's, like, I've never been in the military, but it's like
brotherhood.
It is. I have these band of brothers that I know at any minute, if I go into and be like, I want to kill somebody, you can't ask who. are you in or out?
And whose car are we driving?
Exactly. Yep. Yep. I know everyone on our team has that mentality, and it's a very powerful, like, I've said it thousands of times. Like, I've never been part of a team like we have, but again, it's everybody is mission focused. Like, it's not about us. It's about Dialed. And, you know, again, building this community. And I truly believe, like, the more we've gotten that message out, that's what's made us successful. Yeah. Like, you know, our current site, The Proof, is a kick-ass site. You know, I'm biased, but I truly think it's, you know, the best site on the market right now. But I think what we're trying to build as a community, like, that's been one of the coolest things.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So you go through the storm, right? What does the other end of the storm, where the problems have been fixed and there's the sigh of relief now? So it's like, okay, we've been through the worst possible part of this. We're starting to see the clouds dissipate. What's that feeling like, and what happens next?
I don't know, because I don't know if the clouds ever, because it's like, we say, like, we're firefighters. I mean, it's like, you put out one fire, another fire ignites over there. So it's just, yep. You're just bouncing from fire to fire. But I think just overall, the feeling is like, everything just becomes easier, because like, you are battle hardened, right? Yeah. Like, you're calloused, like, you don't
been through
let,
it.
Yep. You don't let so many things bother you like you used to. Like, I mean, Taylor, I mean, he had said this, I don't know how many times, when we were going through all that shit, you know, control what you can control and don't worry about the uncontrollables, right? And So I think it just like the feeling is you just realize like you can take on a lot more than you thought, but you know, you also learn like, you know, like, okay, how about we next product we design? How about we build it first before we manufacture it? Like, that's a great idea. You know, so it's just like you learn from your mistakes. But I think like, to your point that, you know, the clouds dissipating and you see that shining, you know, that you see that shining light. Like, I think for us, that was like in October when we launched the proof. Mm-hmm. And watching that launch and how many people showed up to support us. Like, that's when we were like, okay, you know, we made it through the storm and now it's on to this new chapter. Because that launch was, I mean, to say it was overwhelming is an understatement. Like, we knew we had something good. You know, not to sound like arrogant or anything, but we knew what we had was pretty badass.
Yeah.
But the amount of people that, you know, previous customers, but then new customers, and again, just the response, like, I mean, like some of the comments we got was like, I fucking knew you guys, like, I knew you'd get this figured out. Like we've just been sitting here waiting for you guys to get your shit together, you know, like, I mean, it was so, and that was like, you know, we had already had all this momentum and kind of this fire lit under us, but that's when the fire just enraged and we're like, okay, Dialed isn't going anywhere. Like, This is the path that we've been trying to get on this whole time. We just didn't know how to get here, but now we do. So like, let's stay on this path.
That's pretty motivating to like a group of you believed in yourself so much that you started this company and maybe people didn't understand what direction you were going, but then you get this group of people going, yes, mm-hmm. Dude, go. That's got to hype you guys up.
It does. And it's so hard for me because I don't take compliments well. Like, mm-hmm. I never have.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think I'm a special or unique individual. And even though we're doing some really cool shit with Dialed, like, I mean, so are a lot of other companies, right? But What truly gets me is like when like you're out in public at the grocery store and somebody comes up to you and is like, hey, you're with Dialed, right? I'm like, maybe. And like, hey, I just picked up on your sites. I fucking love it. Like, best site I've ever used. I'm like, oh, cool, dude. You know, whatever. Like, when you start to hear more positive than negative. Because again, In the beginning, very, very few people want to see you succeed. Like, when you're the new guy, everybody wants to see you fail. Everybody's rooting against you. And that takes its toll on you, right? Like, I mean, in the beginning, like, I was handling all the customer service emails and I, like, every day I would go to bed, like, just in tears because I'm like, all we're doing is disappointing people, right?
Yes.
Because we can't deliver on time. We're having these issues. But you know what? The next day I would wake up and Taylor and I would talk and be like, okay, what are we going to fix today? You know? So, but then now, like, being at the TAC events and actually seeing our products, like, out there or, like, being in a hunting camp, you know, like I was in Wyoming two years ago and the amount of hunters that came through camp with Arxos, I was like, okay, like this is pretty freaking cool. Like I'm trying to stay humble, but at the same time, I'm like, this is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
So, but again, at the end of the day, it's, you know, we want like selling products is the gateway to the community that we're trying to build. And Me personally, I kind of feel this obligation because the archery industry has given me so much. I mean, it's provided me a career. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of developed me into who I am. And again, we talked about earlier, like, you know, back when we were in high school, like if it wasn't for archery and the outdoors, God only knows where I would have ended up. Like, like I was such a lost kid.
Same, dude. And same.
Like you put anything in front of me, I would try it, whether it was good or bad. But archery in the outdoors is where I always kind of found like peace. And I always questioned whether it was a good idea to make that my career. But like now, like I said, I love the products we make, but I love the community that we're building. And like, you know, I've been in this industry for over 30 years And like, I guess, I mean, unofficially, like technically I've been working in it for 20 plus years, but anyways, but like the amount of people I've met along the way has been awesome. Mm-hmm. But the people that I've been introduced to and I've met in the last 4 years are people I wish I would have met a long time ago, because they're the people that I really value. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're people that I look up to. They motivate me. Like, you know, they just provide so much positive energy. Where I look back at like a lot of the people I met previously, they were none of that. Right. Yeah. They were just cool people to party with. And yeah. I think that's like owning Dialed and being an owner and having the team that we have, you do feel like I got to perform at my optimum level every fucking day. Yep. Because if I don't, I'm letting all these people down. Yep. So it's a very, like you said, it's a very empowering feeling. And it's a feeling that I wish I could have had or found a long time ago, but I just, you know, I just don't think it was the right time. But now it's like, it's almost like you kind of feel this, like it's like a next chapter in my life. And it's like, okay, I'm going to see the best version of me going forward. Yeah. Because I have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
So it's kind of a hard realization, because you kind of do realize like what a piece of shit you were, you know, and just how unproductive and how unmotivated. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, that was the past. Now is now and, you know, the future. So it's from a personal aspect and a business aspect, like you learn from your mistakes. So it's 100%. It's a very cool experience.
I'll tell you this, 2006, I can almost pick the date. I even believe it was October 14th, 2006. I'm pretty sure it was that day, was my ultimate course correction in life. It's the moment I was sitting in a tree stand with a bow in my hand. And I said to myself, I want to do this as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And it meant that in order to do that, I had to leave a lifestyle that was not good for me.
Right.
And so did I leave it cut and dry? No, I dabbled in all the shit for a while,
but
in order to get up and go hunting in the mornings, you can't be hungover or drunk.
Right.
And so all of those things, you know, it was my course correction to the point where I am today. So it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing.
100%. But again, I think that's, I go back to like the community mm-hmm. aspect. Like I think archery and hunting is that for a lot of us, like a lot more than you realize, but that's also what brings us all together. Yep. And like, but there's also the competition side of it too, right? Whether it's good or bad, you know? But I think it took me to this point, and Dialed was kind of the deciding factor that like, there are a lot of people out there that were healed or advanced, you know, that realization, like that aha moment, like that wake up idiot, you know, like archery and the outdoors was that for a lot of people. And, you know, again, that's like, those are our people, right? Yep. Like you don't have to be any sort of like real demographic to be a Dialed like customer or to be part of the Dialed community. If you experienced any of that, like you're our people, because I can guarantee you every single one of our team members has a similar story.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, again, and that's hopefully, you know, like, you know, our products aren't for everyone. Like they are expensive, you know, they do have kind of their niche features, but like, you don't have to buy anything from us. Right. Yeah. If you believe in what we believe in, if you believe in, you know, America first, like you're our people. So, and I think going forward, that's kind of one thing we're going to kind of focus on, is obviously we want to keep creating cool, innovative products, because that's how we support, you know, our families. But in the end, I think it's just like, we just need that community.
Yeah. And I do want to elaborate on the cost here, because it is the higher end site in the industry, period. Okay. Yep. And so there's got to be a time when you guys are sitting around trying to come up with the final retail cost of this, and you're like, okay, we want it to be made in the United States. No questions asked. Mm-hmm. All right. We want this. We want this. Got to be this. We don't want to skimp anywhere. But now the cost of this thing is going to be big compared to what else has been in the market. What was that conversation like? And how did you guys convince yourself that this was then the right move?
So in the beginning, we really didn't have like a set retail in mind. Like we wanted to build what we wanted to build, and then the price was the price. Well, then once we actually started getting pricing on parts and stuff, we realized this thing was going to be way more expensive than we anticipated. Mm-hmm. And that definitely was like an oh shit moment. Like, mm-hmm. And in the beginning, like our first product, we did not make any money on because we did not want it to be any higher price than it was, which at the time it was the most expensive site on the market. And we caught flack for that, right? Like we did catch a lot of shit for that. But at the end of the day, you know, like you said, there was no negotiating. There was no, the conversation of not having it made in America wasn't even an option. Okay. Like the price would be what it was as long as it was made in America. Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, as we learned, you know, we did a lot of things wrong. I mean, with how we designed components and, you know, in the beginning, it's a very expensive site to manufacture because of how we designed it, but we're not willing to sacrifice integrity of the product to save a few bucks. And that's, you know, that's how the proof was born. It was born out of a necessity that like, hey, we do have to get these numbers realigned to where our manufacturing costs are better. So our margins are higher, so we can actually pay our bills. You know, we know we're going to have to take on more employees. We want to make sure we pay them a good wage. And, but yet we want it to be like a fair value, right? So to your point, like it is on the high end of the spectrum, but everything we put into it is high end. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the fact that it's minimalistic parts means we're using less components, but each one of those components require more machine time. So it's more cost efficient to machine a bunch of small parts and put them together than to manufacture larger, less components. Yeah. But we choose the latter because it's a better system. I mean, there's less that can go wrong. It's less confusing. It's easier for us to assemble, so we can assemble more faster. But then the big one that a lot of people don't realize is the Cerakoting. Cerakoting is a very expensive product versus anodizing, which is what everybody else did. But with Cerakoting, it's a better product. It's a better coating. Plus, it allows us to offer the customization part of it, which was very important to us. So in the end, I mean, you know, we like to say that like our product is very expensive, but you're not just buying a product, right? Yeah. You're buying a service. And that service is like, we fully understand that, you know, times are tough. Like money is tight, but if you choose to spend your money with us, like you have us, right? Mm-hmm. If anything happens, you have us, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of buying, like you're buying security, I guess, with it. Like, yeah. I mean, I would say like we try harder probably than majority of companies on our customer service side, because we fully recognize the money that's being transferred. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like we, you know, if you spend $575 on a site, like, oh, I'm just making Scott and Taylor rich. Like that's like Taylor and I don't get paid. I mean, every dime we make goes back into the company. It goes back to our employees. And it just goes back to trying to build this company. But we are very conscientious of the price, though. Okay. I mean, we do everything we can to minimize that. But we're also not willing to sacrifice what we're trying to accomplish. And like, we'll never give up the integrity of the product to save a few bucks.
Right. Yeah. And that shit happens, though. You know, especially in this industry with all the holding companies that come out.
Yeah.
Dude, brands that I used to be hype about are no longer worth my time picking up.
And you can, I bet, and I know you know this, you could pick any number of brands that you know, were acquired by private equity, which I don't blame. I mean, that's the American dream, right? Is you start your own business, you build it up, you sell it off, you ride off into the sunset and enjoy all the things you've always wanted to do, right? I mean, you can't blame anything for that, but you can literally pick, you can pick the day that that transition happened, because the quality of the brand, the quality of the customer experience, and the quality of the product goes straight down the shitter immediately, right?
Immediately.
Yep. And, you know, I think, you know, you, like you had mentioned, you know, the tariffs and stuff. Like, I think a lot of companies in our industry are going to be exposed here pretty quick because of the tariffs, and they have no choice but to increase their prices.
Right.
And that's where, again, like, I mean, American made products will always cost more. I mean, you're paying American wages, you're supporting American families across the board, right?
Yeah.
You go outside of our walls and you go to our machine shop, there's hundreds of families that are being supported because we're manufacturing our products there, right?
Right.
So there's a price that comes with that, but also there's a price that comes with the service and the backing, and like, you ever need anything, you have us, right?
Right.
So we try to level out, like, you know, but at the end of the day, we also realize people just aren't willing to spend that much, and that's fine. Like, yeah, that is totally fine. There's plenty of other good products out there that can satisfy their needs. It's just, you know, we never want to sacrifice quality for cost.
Absolutely. And that's a, you know, when you tell people that up front, it's easier for them to absorb than not saying that and then saying it later after they bitch about the price or whatever the case, right, is. Dude, we're not skimping. We're going to do it the way we want to do it. But if you do buy it, you're going to get a badass product and a team of people behind it.
Right.
So,
right.
Now, how many years have you guys officially been a business selling product?
Four.
Okay. What does the next 4 years of Dialed look like?
We literally just went over this yesterday. I mean, you're going to continue to see us, like I said, focus on like that community aspect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knock on wood, there's no, you know, huge economical, you know, downfalls, or, you know, we don't go through another COVID situation. I mean, we've only scratched the surface on what our possibilities are. And again, with the team that we have and the team, as the team continues to grow, I think more opportunities are going to be presented. So, you know, we're very much in the growth cycle. Like, we have no intentions of slowing down or pulling back on the reins. Like, we just want to go, go, go. You know, on the product side, anything's possible. We definitely have some things in the works, which obviously I can't talk about, but, you know, everything we do will be very dialed. You know, so like, if you see kind of how we do things and just like our mentality, like anything we have coming, like, it won't be a surprise. But like, I think just overall, like, it's just to keep continuing to grow.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. It's weird to say this to someone that I don't really know that much, but I'm proud of you guys for what you've done, especially in this industry and being a made in America company. Dude, that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is. And I mean, it does mean a lot hearing that, because like I said, you know, none of us are the type where we need like a pat on our back or like,
right,
we need that validation, but hearing it from industry, like veterans, you know, like guys that have been in the industry for a long time, they've seen just about everything. Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, it does feel good, because I mean, like we do value, like I say this, like we don't ever care what people think. Like, that's kind of my mentality. Like, I really don't give a shit what you think, you know, but we do. Right.
Yep.
And we're starting to kind of see, like, I mean, the amount of people that have come up to us and be like, yeah, man, like, I got to tell you, you know, I wasn't a big fan of you guys in the beginning, but like, I like what you're doing. And, you know, so it, and again, like, I don't care if you've never bought a product from us or if you ever don't buy a product from us.
Yeah.
But if you believe in, you know, what we're trying to do, and again, trying to build that community, like, we're cool. You know what I mean? So like I said, I do appreciate that. And, you know, I think the one thing that we do really well is like, we're very transparent. Like we don't, and especially going through like that shit storm in the beginning, I mean, we are probably way too honest with what was going on, but we never wanted to hide anything. You know what I mean? We never wanted, again, like if the fact that people were spending their hard earned money on a product that they had never seen before, which is like unreal to me because I would never do that. Like there's a risk that's involved and we still have a lot of proving to do. And I don't think that'll ever change, but we always just want to be transparent. Like granted, right. You know, we can't tell everybody everything because we do have our little, you know, insider secrets, but you know, as we always want to be just as customer focused and as forward facing as we can. Yeah. And it's not, like I said, it's not about me. It's not about Taylor. It's not about Jordan or TJ or any other of the team. It's about Dialed and it's about like this archery community. So I think as long as we just kind of always maintain that authenticity, I mean, that's what's just going to keep us, you know, moving forward. So,
yeah. And I will admit, dude, I was one of those skeptics when mm-hmm. I came out and I was like, holy shit, dude, who is going to buy this?
Yeah.
Who's going to buy this? But mm-hmm. I will say this, after this conversation, dude, I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. It just, I felt something about this just felt good.
Right.
As far as like knowing the background, knowing all the shit that people walk through to make a good business. And then out comes this product that people are, it's so game changing that people's first reaction is never a good one, but then they see it, then they start right. to see it. And so I don't know, man. Kudos. Well,
I think it's that underdog mentality. Right?
Oh, hell yeah.
I think, you know, again, as a group, like a lot of us have always kind of been the underdogs, like for the majority of our life. So it's like, you just always feel like you have something to prove. And, you know, I think like the one word that describes like our team is just the passion, you know, like we're all diehard bow hunters, but the passion for this industry and for this company, I think is stronger than you see in a lot of brands. But, you know, it's a weird like kind of situation. Cause again, we were talking about this yesterday cause we just had these meetings, but like, you know, when you look at, like you asked, like, what does the next 4 years look like? Right. Like, if you asked us yesterday, we'd be like, we want to murder everybody. Like we want to sink our competitors. Like, you know, and that is like, we are very competitive, right? Like, you know, we don't want anybody eating off our plate. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we want to destroy the competition, but at the same time, I think if you asked us all like individually, like going through what we've gone through and experiencing what we've experienced, like, I have more of an understanding than I ever have of like I don't wish ill will on any of our competitors because they're all trying to do the same thing we are, right? Some of them have been in the industry for decades. Some of them, you know, are the same age as us. But in the end, man, like we're all going through the same thing. But you know, so I feel for them, but at the same time, I'm like the competitor in me means like I'm like. Like it may not be this year, it may not be next year, but some point in the near future, like we will destroy you. Like
yeah.
it's almost like a bipolar, like, you know, it's like you see the Sour Patch, like kids commercial. like one day we're all nice. Like, oh man, like, yeah, dude, like we totally feel for you. Like, oh dude.
Then you're high fiving.
Yeah.
High fiving each other in the background.
Like, yeah, you like pull them in, you'd be like, you better not go to sleep. You know, like, it's such a messed up, like, you know, like kind of mindset. But like I said, it's what keeps us, it's what keeps us sane and kind of keeps you moving forward. So,
right. But, well, we didn't talk a lot about individual products today. But I will just say, if you're interested in learning more about Dialed, go to dialedarchery.com. That's their website. Go check that out. Outside of that, man, Scott, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on, BS with us a little bit, and share the story of Dialed, and good luck to you and your comrades in the future, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity. I mean, like I said, it's stuff like this that, you know, we need to spread the message. And like you said, you know, you're manufacturer of content. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And like I said, I appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, we'll just keep trucking along.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.